Hello everyone and welcome to another Sport and Lifestyle Biz here on UK Health Radio. We've got another great show for you. We've got Heather Hadley, who's back on the show telling us about her choices for 2023 and the races she's got left to come this season. And part two from US soccer coach at Principia College, Sam Thomas. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we hope you enjoy the show. You'll never stop. Start this week's show with US legend car 10-time champion 20-year-old superstar Heather Hadley. Well, everyone, back with us today is one of our favorite guests, good friend of the show. It's Heather Hadley, all the way from America. Hi Heather, how are you?
Hi John, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Oh, absolutely, it's our pleasure. Personally, we love to keep a track of your progress and how you're doing, and we know that the listeners do as well. Every time you're on, we get a massive audience. So yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Anytime, no problem. So let's get down to, you know, three, if not more, important things. I want to chat to you really about how your season's gone so far. As you know, you're driving in the US legend cars. We know that you've just been to the world finals, and people who've seen my Instagram will know that you've done really well. So it'd be lovely to talk to you about that. And then you're making a move next year, so I'd like to go on to that as well. Starting off, yeah, just tell us about how your season's gone, how you're combining gym, your studies and your driving, and how the year's been for you so far.
Yeah, so we've had a really exciting year so far, and we're going to have an even more exciting year next year. We started off with Winter Nationals in Florida, and I did really well there. I ended up finishing second in the championship. And then over the summer, I kind of decided that I'm making the switch to the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup Series presented by BF Goodrich Tires for next year. So I've basically been planning for that, done a little bit of testing, and I was recently accepted as one of 12 finalists to compete at this year's Mazda MX-5 Cup Shootout on November 9th and 10th at Sebring International Raceway. And yeah, so I have a lot looking forward to right now. I also just got done with World Finals, did well there. And so yeah, we're doing great and we have a lot that we're planning for and looking forward towards.
Fabulous. Lovely to hear you had such a good year. I think we've spoken to last time about the finals in Florida, the Winter Shootout. You touched on the fact that you've been to the World Finals very recently, and for anybody that hasn't seen my Instagram or yours, you finished third in the whole competition, which is unbelievable. You also won a race during that weekend as well, which is fabulous. Tell us the weekend, how it went, how many races you competed in, talk us through the race that you won, and what it felt like to be on the podium overall.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd only been there once before, so we kind of went in with minimal experience, and it was raining all day for the practice day, but I did end up first in the first practice session, and then I didn't run any more sessions because of the rain. And then we qualified and had heat races on Saturday, and I ended up winning my heat race. A heat race is basically just the pack being separated into groups and having their own individual races, which will kind of determine part of your starting position for the feature on Sunday. So won my heat race on Saturday and ended up starting 8th on the race on Sunday. I started 8th, but that's where I started. And yeah, I drove up and to the front and finished 3rd. And so overall, it was a great weekend, unexpected with just the amount of experience that we had going into it, but it exceeded all my expectations. And yeah, I walked away from that weekend very happy.
Absolutely. You know, just to finish third in the World Finals is unbelievable, Heather, and just a pinprick in how talented you are. Just a couple of things, if I may pick up on what you were talking about. You said that you were separated into groups for the heats, effectively, as it were. Is there any particular organisation on how you're separated into groups, or is it random, or is it drawing lots? How do they work that out?
Yeah, they organize the order of the heat races based on qualifying times. So the person that qualified second was the leader in my heat race, because I was in the second heat race. And then I believe the person who qualified fifth was the person that started second in my heat race, and I started third. Right. So it's determined, and then how you finish in the heat race combined with your qualifying times is how they're supposed to determine starting positions for the future on Sunday.
Yeah, and something else that you mentioned and alluded to yourself, it seems rather bizarre that you won the race two, or heat two, yet you started as low as eighth in the final.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that was decided. I went up and I talked to race officials, and I was just curious. I was like, I'm just trying to figure out how this was determined. But yeah, I guess it's just off points, and because I qualified eighth, that's just where I ended up starting, just based off points. So it was unfortunate. Wish I had qualified better, but we ended up having a great race anyway, so hey, in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You got all the way up to third, which obviously got you onto the podium. Is there an argument that this low start position cost you the actual championship? I mean, were you closing in on the leaders? Were you far away from the front two?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility, because we, you know, just starting eighth, you get separated from the front group pretty quickly, and then you have to kind of fight and, you know, use your tires a little bit. Like, you heat them up. I would argue that, you know, if I were to start at the beginning of the pack, I wouldn't have been fighting to get past several cars and be more aggressive on the tires, trying to catch the leaders. So by the time that you catch them, you're kind of dull tires. So it's just things that happen when you start further back, you know?
Yeah, I mean, people who obviously haven't seen you race, but they, if they follow Formula One, will be in the knowledge of that. You know, they're always going on about you can't follow a car too much because it ruins the tires. I know they're open wheel, so I don't know if the flow off the car in front has any effect on that, but you do burn your tires up more by racing them hard early on, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so to be honest with you, you know, the start position in the final was out of your hands, and you still went through the field and got all the way up to third. You must be extremely proud and happy.
Oh, I'm very happy. I'm ecstatic. It was unexpected, but I'll take it any day.
Yeah, of course.
Finals was definitely not something that I wanted to just, you know, give away. I was very proud of that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, you'd have minimal experience there as well. I mean, perhaps an extra year on your back, you might have even come away with higher, but this isn't a time to be negative, is it? You know, it's an amazing achievement, and one that you can obviously take away from that part of motorsport into your next chapter with a great feeling.
Yep, absolutely.
Brilliant. And you mentioned that you are joining the Mazda MX-5, which is amazing that you're stepping up a level again, stepping up a level, challenging yourself. But you said you qualified as one of 12 for a shootout at the beginning of November. Tell us again whereabouts that is and what that involves. How many races and how many competitors?
Yeah, so basically there were 40 at-large nominees who were nominated for the MX-5 Cup shootout this year. And we all had to submit, and then they chose 12 finalists to come out and be at Sebring International Raceway on November 9th and 10th. And basically, it's a type of time trial event. It's not a race. You're coming out and you're trying to get a quick lap, and you're also being tested on how well you interview and conduct yourself. And they're testing on a variety of levels. But yeah, I'm just so honored and grateful chosen to be a part of this event, and I can't thank Mazda enough for the opportunity. I'm just so excited about it, and I've been preparing for it ever since I found out.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost like a get-to-know-you weekend to prepare you for the championship next year.
Yeah, so out at the MX-5 Cup shootout, the second day they will announce who wins three scholarships, two being $75,000 scholarships, and the top one being $110,000. One of the $75,000 scholarships is a women's initiative scholarship. And so I, just being a woman, have a better shot at that scholarship. But announced the end of the second day, and that will go towards the MX5 Cup Series next year.
Fabulous. That would be amazing, wouldn't it, if you managed to bag one of those three?
Oh, it would be life-changing, honestly. It would just be incredible. Yeah.
Because, you know, we've mentioned it before, haven't we, that people don't actually realise when you're not in NASCAR or you're not in IndyCar or you're not in Formula One, you tend to have to pay to drive, and it's not cheap, is it?
No, definitely not.
I mean, we've spoken off-air about the numbers, and I can just say to the audience that it's life-changing money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know how hard my family works, you know, money to contribute to my racing career. And just to be able to have a shot at a scholarship to, you know, be able to help my family out, you know, to just help us throughout the season, that would be incredible.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, amazing, Heather. Obviously, we've spoken again, as I said, off air about how much your family have helped you. But obviously, you've repaid their faith with how amazing you are at what you do. And this next step up is a step in the right direction. So tell us a little bit about the Mazda MX-5, you know, the details of the cars, how many competitors, the amount of races in a series. And one thing I want you to mention is the amazing tracks that you're actually going to be driving at.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup Series presented by BF Goodrich Tires basically comprised of about 30 cars each race, and over the course of a season there is $1 million payout, which amounts to about $26,000 each race, and 10 drivers plus a $2,000 bonus for the top finishing female driver. So we race at Daytona at the beginning of the series, or at the season. We race at incredible historic tracks like, yeah, Watkins Glen, Road America, and plenty of other tracks like Road Atlanta, VIR, Laguna Seca, tracks that I've been, you know, looking at since I was a child and wanting to be on. And we travel around with IMSA. This series is sanctioned by IMSA. So we get to just be a part of incredible experiences overall. And at the end of the season, the championship winner gets $250,000 and rookie of the year gets $85,000.
That's amazing, that is. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Just the tracks you've read out there, you know, Daytona, iconic, Watkins Glen, Laguna Seca, Road America. I mean, they're ones that are championship tracks that are on television that are shown over here. So they're obviously amazing circuits. Do you get the opportunity to go and drive in testing, or can you only go for that weekend and do your practice before a race?
Yeah, so we're working on testing this year in the off season, and then we'll also most likely do some testing throughout the season, probably at tracks before we go and race them. But yeah, it just kind of depends on where we're at, and I also just practice on iRacing on all those tracks all the time, so I'm getting an idea of what they're like on iRacing, which gives me a realistic idea of what they're like in person. And so if we don't end up, you know, getting to test it every, yeah, track, still should be okay preparation-wise.
At least it gives you an idea of the configuration of a circuit, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's unreal how realistic a video game can be nowadays.
Absolutely. And how much are you looking forward to this, Heather?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for next year. What I've lived for the past 10 years is to be in a professional road racing series and racing with IMSA. It's truly a dream of mine, and I just can't stop thinking about it every day. Yeah, I'm just excited for it to start happening, and I'm so looking forward to it.
Well, Heather, as I said before, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you and interview you. We do get massive audiences when you're on. People are genuinely interested. Everybody loves motorsport, or majority of people love motorsport. You know, you're groundbreaking. You are one of the women that are breaking ground in motorsport, and this is only what you deserve, and we can't wait to hear your progress on it.
Thank you so much, John, and I appreciate the listeners as well. I'm just glad to be on all the time, and I look forward to giving you updates throughout the season next year.
Absolutely, and we'll definitely have you on after the 9th and 10th of November, and it will be a massive celebration if you do bag one of the three scholarships. But if not, you can just tell us about the whole experience and what you gained out of it and how much perhaps more confidence it's given you going into next year.
Absolutely, that sounds great.
Brilliant. Heather, thank you very much. Everybody, it's Heather Hadley. Thank you, Heather. Amazing interview as always. And after our first advert break, it's Sam Thomas, head coach of soccer for Principia College.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, and again, more amazing points and all relevant points that attribute to good quality coaching. So fabulous to hear that, Sam. Like me, you're involved in coaching of girls. Tell us how you got involved in girls football.
Yeah, very similar to how I got involved in coaching to begin with. I fell into it. The first school that I got asked to go coach at in Oregon, my coach, obviously, was a men's coach. He dragged me out to be his assistant and work with his goalkeepers. And while I was out there, the women's coach said, "Hey, I need an assistant too. You know, can I pay you to come help us?" And I needed the cash, so I said, "Yeah, of course."
Yeah.
And day one, I realized that coaching women was going to be more for me than coaching guys. It was just a different level of relationship. It was a different level of focus. Not to say that the men's game wasn't, it was just different. And it was more wired for me. And that was completely unexpected. It was completely out of left field, but it was a blast. And then the other thing that was fun, downside to coaching out west in the States, is you have to go really far to get anywhere. If you want to play another school, have a game, you have to fly or drive a distance. Now, in the Midwest and East Coast, things are a lot closer, so it's easier. But we had a lot of travel, and traveling with a women's team was so much more fun for a young guy than traveling with a men's team, because they're always playing games, they're always goofing off, and our guy's team, and it could have just been this guy's team, but it was my team in college too, we didn't put our headphones in and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so as a coach, you know, if you're on the road with your team and you're a young coach, you want to have fun, you know? Now that I'm a more seasoned coach, as soon as we're on the buses, I'm watching film, I'm studying this, I'm reading the book on that.
Yeah.
But when I was 22, I just wanted to let loose. I wanted to have fun. So that was the environment that sucked me in right away.
Yeah. I do agree with focus, and I always say this in a respectful way towards boys, because we still coach girls up to the age of 18, but we do coach a lot of girls that are younger than obviously what you do, because you're in the college system. But I think over here, if you're a boy, your parents buy you a pair of football boots and some shin pads, and they put them on you, and they put you out the door and go, "Go on, son, go and play football." Because that's the done thing. Uh-huh. Whether you're interested, whether you're any good or not, I don't think it matters. But because the awareness still over here, even though it's much better than what it was, it's nowhere near what it could be. Girls literally have to find a team, and you tend to find the ones who have gone the extra mile to find a team always turn up training wanting to learn.
Right. Because they are the reason they're there.
Exactly that. I'm not meaning that in a disrespectful way to the boys or the young men.
It's a difference of culture.
Yes, and I find that exactly the same as you.
In the world of college athletics, I'm a firm believer that most good coaches are supporting their athletes' academic pursuits. It's not just about their relationship on the field.
Absolutely.
For the majority of college athletes, 99.5% of college athletes, they will never step foot on a professional field regardless of the sport. So for 99.5% of them,
yeah,
their experience in college athletes in athletics is their final push as an athlete, but it's also driving what is going to be their career later. Building habits, training, you know, team building skills, creating culture, learning how to be disciplined, how to work under stressful environments and come out successful. There's a lot of teaching opportunities in college sports, but the academic side of things is particular to the women's game, I've found. And this was true for me. I was not thinking much beyond a playing career when I was a student athlete. That was what I wanted to do. I wanted to play sport. And it's no wonder I wound up in coaching, but that's not true for many. And many guys think about playing the next level, playing the next sport. The vast majority of college-age women, they're thinking, how is my academic career supporting my professional career? What am I doing right now to prepare for my next internship, for my next job?
Yeah.
And that desire to be in that space, in that field, mirrors what you're talking about the desire for their self-motivation to arrive on the training pitch to work with the coaches.
Yeah.
And that, again, is a different dynamic, guys to women in college, that I enjoy in particular.
Yeah, it's great to hear, and it's a good point, obviously, to just reestablish and hold on to the fact that, you know, girls are more focused, and it's more just because they have to work harder to initially get to the first stage. So wonderful to hear again, Sam. So obviously, we were talking about that little story where you're now actually a football stroke soccer coach at the college that you graduated from.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
It's wonderful. It was a school that I loved going to, and it's something that when the opportunity came to me to come back here, I couldn't say no to. It was incredibly exciting. I've had the good fortune to coach in a lot of different environments at a lot of different levels here in the States, and, you know, getting to give back to and work for and in around an environment of a place that's so near and dear it's a privilege. It's a joy. It's kind of wonderful.
Lovely. No, and it's great. And briefly, for people that don't know, in the UK, it's Mothering Sunday in America. So we know you've got a busy day, and we'll definitely do plenty more of these. Just tell us what you're looking for girls in America and perhaps around the world. And in a brief way, what your 3 to 5 year plan is for your team at your college.
Yeah, well, thank you. So the things that I particularly look for are more quality based than they are, you know, surface based, I guess. For me, the biggest and first steps for any program in transition is creating environment. So the qualities I look for in people are character, commitment, and passion, first and foremost. We want and need people in our program of high character who take seriously to their training, take seriously to their studies, take seriously to their relationships. And the people that we bring in are going to be just as important as the attributes they have on the football field. Their commitment to their academics, their commitment to their athletics, to their family, to their faith, to their team, to any environment is absolutely crucial as well. Because being a college student athlete is not an easy thing. It is a demanding task. And so being committed to the environments that you're in is absolutely crucial to me. And finally, the passion piece. I am a soccer coach because I'm passionate about the sport. I love working with college-age athletes because I'm passionate with the athletes who are getting ready to pursue their careers, chase their jobs, but still want to play football at the highest level they can in America for 18 to 22 years old. Yeah. And so sharing that passion with athletes, sharing that passion with other coaches in our department, that is something that I resonate with and absolutely love. So those are the qualities of the person that we're looking to recruit.
Yeah.
The qualities of the athletes and of the players that we're looking to recruit are a little bit more diverse because obviously it's going to change. You don't want your goalkeepers to have the same qualities as your 10s.
No.
But for us, it comes down to impact. Is that athlete, is that player able to impact the game in a playing style that mirrors ours and in an environment that mirrors ours? A lot of the adaptations for international players when they come to play college sports in America is they're often caught off guard by how physical the sport is. There are a lot of technical footballers who make their way over here
who
get caught off guard by the physicality. And those who can know that and adapt succeed because there's a lot of the sport IQ that international athletes have. There's a lot of technical training that international athletes have. But it's a no-brainer. A lot of the American athletes have the physical attributes of the sport. And so being able to impact in the right environment is absolutely crucial. For us, for a 3 to 5 year plan, the building blocks are going to be to make sure we build it right. I am a very unfortunate fan of Manchester United. When I was in college, my team went over to England, and we saw United's season opener versus Newcastle in 2011.
Yeah.
And we got the Old Trafford tour and everything. So I got sucked into Manchester United fandom at a time when Sir Alex was a very exciting figure and the club was doing well, to say it yes. mildly. And since then, I've had the misfortune of seeing a club improperly run from the top down and yeah. invest in the wrong things from my point of view. And so for us, we want to make sure we're not falling into that trap. There yeah. are plenty of clubs who have done that very, very well, whether it's college programs here or professional programs across the world. So we are a project right now. We are building. And it's crucial to me that anyone who comes into our program understands that we're going to invest in the right things at the right time. And in time, that pays off. In time, that pays dividends. But the discipline, the patience, the understanding to know that we're not going to go out and win a title year one.
No.
We're going to build.
Yeah.
And then in year three, we're challenging. In year five, hopefully we're winning and we're competing regionally and nationally.
Good.
It takes time to take those steps.
Yeah.
And I'm never someone to rush that process because it's more important to me that the things behind the scenes are the right foundation to sustain the things that take place out on the pitch.
Basically, you are building from the foundations up, and those foundations need to be correct and secure.
You put it much more concisely than I can.
It was all your inspiration. It was all your inspiration.
Exactly that.
Yeah. I mean, effectively, that's what we're trying to do with Get Pro Academy, as you know. We're going to be working together. I hope for and I expect an incredible amount of time together. We've got the same vision, and hopefully some of the girls of us is almost on the pathway to you, if that makes sense. So it's nice to have you on the radio, someone with similar and better values, someone, you know, who can finish off the pathway that I want to create with my team for girls that if they can't make it over here, they've got a great option with you and your contacts in America. So Sam, for today, that's sad to say that's it, but I know you've got a busy day. I fully appreciate and respect you coming on. You're inspirational every time I talk to you, and I can't wait to work with you and to do some more of these in the future.
Well, thank you, John. Honestly, every time we talk, you know it always goes on too long. But genuinely, it's exciting to talk to people who share the same passions and are building the foundations that we are talking about as well.
Yeah.
So that the athletes that we talk to, the families we get to know, you know, that transition becomes smooth, it becomes easy.
Yeah.
And that's something that we really care about, is making sure that we're surrounded by the right people. People first and players second. And yeah, thanks for being a part of the process for us as well.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And as you said, it is about the girls. It is about their families. And all we can do is look to make it a better future for them.
Absolutely. Play some football along the way.
Absolutely. We shouldn't forget that. So for today, Sam Thomas, thank you very much for your time, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, John. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Sam. Over the last 2 weeks, we've heard two amazing parts of your interview and all the great work you do. And following our final advertisement break and a short music break, it's our SLB Sports Roundup.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive, and the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so
don't stop me now. Don't stop me,
'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky.
This is our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, cricket, darts, motorsport, football, NFL and NBA. We start with golf, and on the PGA Tour it was the Bermuda Championship held at the Port Royal Golf Course in Bermuda, and it was won by Irish star Seamus Power on minus 19. Thomas Dietrich is minus 18. He finished second. Patrick Rogers, CAU, and Ben Jimin Griffin all finished third, one shot further back on minus 19. This week it's the OHL Classic from the El Chameleon Golf Course, Playa del Carmen in Mexico. The DP World Tour hosted the Portugal Masters from the Victoria Club de Golf in the Algarve, and it was won by English golfer Jordan Smith, minus 30, one of our recommendations. Gavin Green was second on minus 27, and Tapio Pulkkinen was third, five further back on minus 22. This week, the Cyprus Open has been cancelled and they're back on the 10th to the 13th of November. The LPGA is also back this week with the Toto Japan Classic from the Sita Golf Course using their North Course. That's based in Shiga. Horse racing, and last weekend there was a good jumps card at Ascot, and it was the Sam Thomas weekend. He won with Overpower, a big handicap at Ascot, ridden by Charlie Deutsch, and then doubled up the following day with another good handicap win with Good Risk It All at Carlisle, ridden by Sam Twiston Davis. The big meeting, though, was at Wetherby. The West Yorkshire Hurdle was won by Proschema for Harry Skelton and Dan Skelton, and they doubled up in the Mayor's Hurdle with Molly Ollie's Wishes. And then in the Charlie Hall Chase, Ahoy Senor flopped, but Brave Man's Game didn't. Trained by Paul Nichols, ridden by Harry Cobden, he now looks like he's going to go for the King George on Boxing Day at Kempton. If Alaho travels over, it will be a far different proposition for him. Our two friends, Tom Marcond and Holly Doyle, are currently racing in Japan, where Tom hit the mark on his first weekend with two winners. And then on to this week. We will bring you the result of the Melbourne Cup, which is run on the first Tuesday in November, the race that stops the nation from Flemington in Australia. And this weekend, it's the Breeders' Cup. We're going to give you a host of UK and Irish horses that we feel have a great chance over there on the turf races, primarily the Juvenile Turf Sprint. We like the Platinum Queen, which is ridden by our good friend Holly Doyle. The Juvenile Turf Fillies Mediate for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. The Juvenile Turf, back to one of our guys who's helped us out a lot this season, William Buick and Charlie Appleby. We like Silver Knot. And in the Turf Sprint, Golden Pal, Highland Princess and Creative Force. Golden Pal is a British horse, but is a superstar. But we think those two UK horses could give him a run. And back to the mares with the fillies and mares turf. We like another one for Holly Doyle in Nashua. She's helped us out many times this season. The Mile, another one that's helped us out several times. Kinross going up against another friend of ours, Modern Games. We take them two to fight out the finish. Nations Park in the turf has got a bit of a battle, but he'll run well. And then in the Classic, back to the American horses on the dirt, Flight Line. This horse is potentially the best horse in the world. He is dominant, and although he's not backable, he should deliver in the biggest race of the weekend. Over the jumps to look forward to next weekend, the Paddy Power Gold Cup and the Greatwood Hurdles from Cheltenham. The Paddy Power Gold Cup we like in advance, G.A. Law, Il Redito, and two at bigger prices, Stolen Silver and Editor Tajit. And in the Greatwood Hurdle, Dad's Lad, who won at Cheltenham last month, Songigino, who has good form, and Nappers Hill, who won the big handicap hurdle in October at Chepstow. A week further on, Aplutar is expected to make his seasonal debut in the Betfair Chase at Haydock, and he is one worth following this season. On to cricket, the Cricket World Cup, and it is surprises and shocks. England have been beaten by the weather. They lost a match against Ireland when the rain came, and then they couldn't get back on the pitch. They then had a washout against Australia, and they did win their first game, but they're now up against it, and I think they may have to win all of their remaining matches to get into the semi-finals. India and Australia have both been beaten, and New Zealand look like the standouts. However, please look out for South Africa. They're a real dark horse. Their bowling unit is fantastic. Their batters, if they hit form, are also good, and they are dark horses. We still think if they get through, it could be between England and Australia. Darts was the European Championship from Westfall and Haarlem last weekend, and it was a final of the Smiths. Ross Smith beating Michael Smith 11-8 in that final. On to motorsport, and MotoGP is back this week with the final race of the season, the Valencia Grand Prix from the Circuit Ricardo Tormo. And Frankie Bagnaia, riding the Ducati Lenovo, just needs to finish 13th to claim his first world title if reigning champion Fabio Quartararo wins the race. Fabio is on the underpowered Yamaha, and when we say underpowered, it's slow compared to the Ducatis in a straight line, and Valencia is a bit of a power track. Fabio rode the wheels off the bike last time out. He's got to do it again. He's got to win and hope that Frankie Bagnaia doesn't finish in the top 13. The standings, Frankie Bagnaia is out in front for 258. Fabio Quartararo, Monster Energy Yamaha on 235. And it's close for third place. Alexia Spargaro, who has been outperforming on the Aprilia all season, he's on 212, but he's being closed down by Enea Bastianini, who's going to be Frankie Bagnaia's teammate and partner next season. He currently rides for Ducati Gresini Racing. He's just one back. Will he shatter Alexia Spargaro's dreams of finishing on the season podium? World Superbikes are back also, but they're back next week, the 13th of November, with round 11, the Indonesian round from the Mandalika International Street Circuit. Alvaro Bautista is pulling away in those standings after a couple of fantastic rounds. He rides for Ducati Aruba IT team. He's on 507. Toprak Ratsakalioglu, the current world champion, is second for Factory Yamaha on 425. Jonathan Ray, six-time world champion from Great Britain and Ireland, and Factory Kawasaki is 16 further back on 409. NASCAR, they're now at the end of their season. The penultimate race was last weekend. It was the Xfinity 500 from Martinsville Speedway, and it was won by Christopher Bell, who drives for Toyota Camry and Joe Gibbs Racing. He's put himself in that final round of four. Kyle Larson finished second and couldn't make it in. He drives a Chevy Camaro for Hendrick Motorsport, and Ryan Blaney was third. He drives a Ford Mustang for Team Penske. So the final four going into the final race, the round of four. The only four that can win it, Joey Logano leads the standings, Ford Mustang, Team Penske. Christopher Bell, who won the last race, Toyota Camry, Joe Gibbs Racing. Ross Chastain, Chevy Camaro, Trackhouse Racing. And Chase Elliott, Chevy Camaro, Hendrick Motorsport. Hendrick have got one in there. Chase Elliott's been in the top four all season. This is being held at Phoenix Raceway, and it's just titled the NASCAR Cup Series Championship. Formula One. It was the Mexican Grand Prix at the Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez, and it was won by Max Verstappen, skillfully looking after those tyres and winning in the Red Bull quite comfortably. Lewis Hamilton was second, driving his Mercedes, a much better performance again by Lewis, who's really bringing the Mercedes back towards the Red Bull, but he's still got a lot of work and he still can't get the better of Max. Sergio Perez, third in the Red Bull, his second consecutive podium at his home track, and it was a decent race. Max Verstappen, obviously already world champion. He's on 416 points. Sergio Perez is second, 136 points behind on 280. Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari is third, 5 points behind on 275. With an interesting battle for fourth and fifth, with George Russell being closed down towards the end by Lewis Hamilton. One of Lewis's favourite tracks coming up. Red Bull, obviously constructors champions on 696. 209 points clear of Ferrari on 487, and Mercedes have closed the gap to 40. They're back in third on 447. As we said, the next race is the Brazilian Grand Prix from the Autodromo Jose Carlos Passe. We think it'll be a good race. Can Lewis relive last year's heroics when he started at the back on the sprint race, got up to fifth, and then won the race from fifth place? Moving on to football, and in the Premier League, it was match day 14. The results were Leicester 0, Manchester City 1, Newcastle 4, Aston Villa 0, Bournemouth 2, Tottenham 3, a great second half recovery from Tottenham, who were 2-0 down, Brighton 4, Chelsea 1, Graham Potter having a very sad return to his former club, Crystal Palace 1, Southampton 0, Brentford 1, Wolves 1, Fulham 0, Everton 0, Liverpool 1, Leeds 2, another poor Premier League performance by Liverpool. Arsenal 5, Nottingham Forest 0, and Manchester United 1, West Ham 0. Marcus Rashford notching his 100th goal for Manchester United. The league still sees Arsenal out in front, who are staying the course so far. Nearly a third of the way through the season, they played 12 with 10 wins, have 31 points and a goal difference of 19. Manchester City have also played 12 with 9 wins, 29 points and a goal difference of 26. Tottenham are third, played 13, 8 wins, 26 points. Goal difference of 10. Newcastle are fourth, played 13, 6 wins, 24 points, a goal difference of 14. Manchester United are fifth, they've played 12, 7 wins, 23 points with a goal difference of 1. And Chelsea round up the top 6, also played 12, 6 wins for 21 points and a goal difference of 2. Match day 15's fixtures, Nottingham Forest versus Brentford, Wolves versus Brighton, Manchester City versus Fulham, Leeds versus Bournemouth, Everton versus Leicester, Chelsea versus Arsenal, Aston Villa versus Manchester United, Southampton versus Newcastle, West Ham versus Crystal Palace, Tottenham versus Leicester. The UEFA Champions League fixtures for the last round in the group stages. Liverpool play Napoli, Marseille play Tottenham, Manchester City play Sevilla, Chelsea play Dynamo Zagreb, Rangers play Ajax, and Celtic travel to the Bernabeu to face Real Madrid. The Europa League sees Manchester United going to Real Sociedad in a winner-takes-all. Manchester United need to win by 2 goals to top the group, and Arsenal play FC Zilch. In the WSL, match day 6's results. Chelsea 3, Aston Villa 1. Manchester City 2, Liverpool 1, Reading 2, Leicester 1, Everton 0, Manchester United 3, Brighton 0, Tottenham 8, including a goal from our good friend Molly Bartrip, Arsenal 3, West Ham 1. The league is led by Manchester United, played 5, won 5, 15 points, goal difference of 14, and yet to concede a goal. Second at Arsenal, played 5, won 5, 15 points with a goal difference of 13, and third place at Chelsea, played 6, won 5, 15 points, goal difference of 9. Manchester United have two important WL's fixtures in a row. They play Chelsea, then Arsenal, and Matchday 7's fixtures are Reading versus Manchester City, Liverpool versus Aston Villa, Tottenham versus Everton, Leicester versus Arsenal, West Ham versus Brighton, and Manchester United versus Chelsea. On to the NFL and Week 8's results. Buccaneers 22, Ravens 27, Jaguars 17, Broncos 21, Lions 27, Dolphins 31, Falcons 37, Panthers 34, Vikings 34, Cardinals 26, Cowboys 49, Bears 29, Saints 24, Raiders 0, Eagles 35 to remain unbeaten, Steelers 13, Jets 17, Panthers 22, Texans 10, Titans 17, Seahawks 27, Giants 13, Colts 16, Commanders 17, Rams 14, 49ers 31. The Rams are currently struggling, the current Super Bowl champions. And the Bills, as we expected, took apart the Packers, 27-17. We'll bring you the Browns versus the Bengals result next week. So in the conferences, in the AFC, in the East, the Bills lead the way in 6-1. Josh Allen, brilliant quarterback, playing at the top of his game. But the East, it's becoming the hardest division in the AFC, with both the Jets and the Dolphins on 5-3. The Chiefs lead the way in the West, and the Titans lead the way in the South on 5-2. And in the North, it's the Ravens on 5-3. The Texans have the worst record in the AFC. They're 1-5-1 in the South. The NFC, the Eagles lead the way, not only for the East, not only for the NFC, but for the whole of the NFL. They are 7-0, 100% record. The Vikings, the second best team in the NFC, they lead the North on 6-1, with the Cowboys and the Giants both from the East on 6-2. The Lions are the worst team in the NFC and also the whole of the NFL. Their record in the North is 1-6. Teams that are struggling, current Super Bowl champions, are 3-4, and four other teams with a negative aggregate, which you would expect them not to have: the Packers, the Buccaneers, the Saints, and the Broncos. Although the Broncos' latest win was a return to form for Russell Wilson, and it was in England at Wembley, so perhaps the lack of home crowd attention helped him out. Match day 9, relevant fixtures. Texans, who have the second worst record in the NFL, play the Eagles, who have the best. Patriots versus the Colts. The Lions, who have the worst record in the NFL, they play the Packers. Can this be the game that Aaron Rodgers and his team get back on track against a team who are really struggling? The Jets play the Bills. The Commanders play the Vikings. The Buccaneers play the Rams in two good teams that are struggling. And the Chiefs and the Titans, both 5-2, who are both having good seasons, they face off as well. We finish with NBA and some of the top highlighted results from the last week. Thunder 108, Clippers 94, Suns 134, Golden State Warriors 105, Cavaliers 103, Magic 92, Pistons 113, Hawks 118, Bucks 110, Nets 99, Knicks 134, Hornets 131, Jazz 109, Rockets 101, Trailblazers 98, Nuggets 110, Lakers 99, Nets 125, Mavericks 129, Thunder 118, Clippers 110, Golden State Warriors 123, Heat 110, Pistons 112, Hawks 136, Celtics 123, Cavaliers 132, Bucks 119, Knicks 108, Suns 124, Pelicans 111, Hornets 120, Golden State Warriors 113, Bucks 123, Hawks 115, Cavaliers 121, Knicks 108, Suns 124, Rockets 109, and the Lakers 121. Nuggets 110. The Lakers were previously 0-5 and are now 1-5. Their first win. Unbelievable. The top 8 in the conferences. The Bucks are 5-0. They lead the way in not only the East but also the whole of the NBA with only 100% record. Cavaliers are 5-1. The Celtics, the Hawks are 4-2. The Knicks, the Wizards, the Raptors and the Hornets are 3-3. In the West, the Trailblazers and the Suns lead the way on 5-1. The Spurs and the Jazz are 5-2. The Pelicans and the Grizzlies are 4-2. And the Timberwolves and Nuggets are both 4-3. Teams that are struggling didn't expect to have a better record. 76ers 3-4. Heat 2-5. And the Nets, with those good players, are 1-5. That's in the East. And in the West, Golden State Warriors are 3-4. Clippers are 2-4. And as we said, the Lakers are 1-5. upcoming important fixtures over the next week. Raptors versus Hawks, Bucks versus Pistons, Jazz versus the Grizzlies, Nets versus the Bulls, Heat versus Golden State Warriors, Suns versus the Timberwolves, Knicks versus the Hornets, Cavaliers versus the Celtics, Bucks versus the Pistons, Spurs versus the Raptors, Mavericks versus the Jazz, Trailblazers versus the Grizzlies, Lakers versus the Pelicans, Magic versus Golden State Warriors, 76ers versus the Knicks, Spurs versus the Clippers, Pelicans versus Golden State Warriors, Timberwolves versus the Bucks, Suns versus the Trailblazers, Lakers versus the Jazz, Hawks versus the Pelicans, Knicks versus the Celtics, Bucks versus the Thunder, Suns versus the Trailblazers, and the Lakers versus the Cavaliers. That is our SLB Sports Roundup. That's it, everyone. The end of another brilliant, brilliant show. We bring you the best of interviews from US legend car racing in America, thanks to Heather Hadley, and coaching young girls as the head coach of soccer at Principia College in St. Thomas. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup, and we hope you really enjoyed the show. Thank you to you, the listeners, as always. We do appreciate you tuning in, and thank you as always to Johan, Rafaela and the team at UK Health Radio who give us this amazing platform. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place.
See you in a better place.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
Let me tell you.
When I see you again.
Both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong. It was small, turn to a friendship turn to a bond. And that bond will never be broken, the love will never get lost. And when brotherhood come first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn. And that line is what we reach, so remember me when I'm gone.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
So let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road you take. Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.